And welcome to Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Thank you for joining us.
Well, this week in the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we are sitting down with
Greg Gagne, the son of Vern Gagne.
We're sitting down with Larry the Axe Henning.
We're sitting down in the Spotlight and Squared Circle with Ryan Owen,
Darren Corbin,
Zach Gowen.
We're sitting down with Dick Justice.
You're listening to Gravel Talk, keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
And we are live! Woo!
Welcome into Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Nick Ragnar joined by AC Riley, Jesse Von Rudin. Guys, lots of stuff going on in the wrestling world. We are sitting down with calling it quits, Vic Ross. We kind of talked about this a little bit. Recently retired is people. Here's the thing about that word, though.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to bring it up right now.
Recently?
Retired. No.
Recently.
I'm going to bring it up right now. But people use the word retired for a lot of different reasons other than quitting a career. Like, people will say, I retired those pairs of shoes last week. Oh,
did you give him a send-off?
Well, no, I literally didn't, but people say that stuff all the time.
So. Back in the day, you would say retire if you were going to bed. I'm retiring to my bed.
See? It's almost used.
I'm not getting a 401k and a watch to go to bed.
Well, you think that's just the way everything's been attached to retirement, where the meaning has changed?
I think so.
I think the meaning's changed a little bit, and, you know, it's almost kind of like, you know, it's not similar to this, but it's almost like playing in a really serious basketball league and being like, guys, I'm retiring this year. It's like, dude, just you're not on the team. Shut up. Go home. Like, similar to that, maybe. It's like, you know, it's like a fun thing that you do that you maybe take. It's like a semi-pro league. Maybe it doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm not sure what I'm talking about. Do loggers say that they retire?
No. They just graduate college.
Okay.
Yeah. And
I graduated.
Yeah. I graduated to better things.
I retired high school because I'm moving up to, I don't know. But
maybe that's what they can say.
I mean, that's the thing. You know, we talk about this in the interview, so we won't really dwell on this too much. But, I mean, you know, I think it's just easier just to say retired as far as being done with wrestling than being like, oh, he's done. Like, mm-hmm. what does that mean? Like, is he done, like, for a month? Is he coming back?
Pretty sure done is done. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but with wrestling, it you know, it's just like with retiring, I guess, as well. But there's always the, oh, he's done with wrestling. It's like, yeah, okay. But I guess, like, if you say retire, there's a little bit more of, like, a stigma to being like, oh, you're probably done.
It just kind of has a meaning because, obviously, you know, in a lot of companies, and I know we don't want to talk about this too long, but in a lot of companies,
sure,
when you go, you act professional for the most part, right? I mean, you act like you're working for a business. Am I incorrect in saying that? When you work at various promotions, for the most part, you're acting like you're working for an actual company. You're not just there to be like, hey, I'm fucking here and I'm ready to party. What's up? So, I mean, I can kind of
see.
Well,
I mean, some people do that.
Some people do that, yeah, but yeah, I can kind of see why. But some people do that when they go to work, too. I can kind of see why, you know, people attach the word retirement because, you know, like Vic, if you've been doing this for 17 years, it's become a part of your life. You know, some people, I guess, consider wrestling to be a bigger part of their lives than what their job is or their career is. So I can kind of see where the retirement thing comes into play. I just always thought it was a really interesting conversation because we've heard it from both sides, but I think for the most part when people use the word retire, they don't necessarily mean, oh, I'm big timing because I'm retiring. I think it's just an easy thing to say. Just wanted to bring it up.
Just an easy thing to say when you want to leave.
Now you're just coming, shooting the bullets again. I don't know. See, that's not even a saying. See? You can't just make up sayings. It doesn't work that way.
No. So, in theory, if I wanted to get out of a relationship, can I say, I'm retiring from this?
I think you can.
I think you absolutely can say that.
It'd be funny.
Oh, cool.
Why not? It's your right as an American, Jesse.
I'm retiring to the gas station to buy cigarettes and never come back.
That's more like when you're leaving a child, not when you're leaving a significant
other. Okay, now we're kind of
talking. Happened to me when I was a kid.
All right, cool. Well, we got a lot of things to talk about as well, but we also got something really cool coming up, guys, and that is WWE is coming back to the La Crosse Center on Sunday, May 29th, and we are giving away tickets.
Yeah, that's right. Still kind of mulling over exactly what we're going to do. All we know is that we're kind of just announcing this right now so that people are aware of it. So if you live in the La Crosse area, if you don't, but you want to come see WWE because you have some free tickets, how many are we giving away by chance?
Two.
We're giving away a pair of tickets. And I think it'll have something to do with our Facebook and it'll have something to do with our next episode. So make sure that you are obviously tuning into that next episode and, keep up to date on our Facebook for more info on those tickets because you know what, man, two free tickets to see WWE. I mean, right now the card is obviously subject to change. It's already
and it's
changed
actually
quite a few times.
Yeah, a few times.
But this is a pretty good card we have here. We have a United States Championship match. The New Day is going to be there. One of the hottest things in wrestling today. We're going to see some Big Show and Kane, which regardless if you enjoy Big Show or Kane or not, when you see him in person, especially in a place like the size of the La Crosse Center, it's pretty cool because they just look ginormous. The boss. Remember
when we saw Big Show in Rochester for the first time?
I do.
Yeah. I mean, because like on TV, you know, he's 7 foot tall. You know, he's a big guy. But when you actually see a guy that's 7 foot tall, about 500 pounds, you're just like, holy shit, that guy's big.
Dean Ambrose is going to be there, so lots to look forward to in lacrosse.
Definitely. So keep listening. Grapple Talk would definitely have that giveaway starting next week. It's going to be good. Hey, you actually might be sitting next to us.
That'd be cool.
And if you are, you could buy us a beer.
That's right.
Unless you're underage,
then
you could buy AC Riley a soda water.
Yeah, you could do that. I don't know.
A Pepsi.
By the way, just so you know, that is also on Sunday, May the 29th.
Yep.
So if you put that date in your calendar. Yeah, it's an early show. We'll probably post something on Facebook about it over the next couple of days just as another reminder because just we want to get that out there and make sure that somebody has the chance to win those tickets. Facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk, the place to go for all that is that. Guys, obviously a lot in wrestling. Like I said, we're going to talk to Vic Ross in a little bit, but we're fresh off of Payback. We had Monday Night Raw. Lots of drama with Ryback. Shit's kind of hit the fan as far as the wrestling world's concerned.
Yeah, definitely. The Ryback statement, I guess is the best way to say it, was really well articulated and really kind of showed the guy's frustration with the WWE creative process. And go figure that he'd be the one speaking out when he was kind of being, the scapegoat during the CM Punk bitching session.
Right.
It's kind of weird.
It was very interesting because you read the whole thing and sometimes it seems, like you said, it was very well articulated, but it seemed like a little bit. He wasn't necessarily just coming out and saying things, he was kind of beating around the bush, just a hair. But it was really interesting because, you read all these comments and you read reactions and you listen to other podcasts and see how people are talking about it.
Yep.
And you just don't realize that this is something that Ryback could put out because you don't see him as that type of guy. You don't see him as – you only see him as the big guy, but you don't see him as the type of guy to maybe do something like this, which is really interesting just because of some of the things that he was bringing up as far as, the wins and losses and how that, necessarily shouldn't come into play, especially when it comes into, long hauls because, it's hard to put guys over when they're sitting there losing all the time. Then they fall into a different status because they can't get over with the fans.
Exactly.
But it's a really interesting point that he decided to bring up and – I think it'll be very interesting to see where that goes from here.
The idea of a base salary, which is always something that everyone always talks about, is the money wage. Because when you see the WWE reports of who's actually making the most money, who's making the least amount of money, and you kind of sit there and wondering, okay, now is this a matter of just chance, or is it a matter of the bookers? Because the booker's basically your boss. So if they want to push you, they're giving you the raise at that point in time. And you can do whatever you want, but you're never going to get a certain point because you have backstage heat or something like that. So that's one of those things that's kind of really interesting about that as well.
The weird thing about the WWE that differs from other professional sports is obviously you don't have 30 companies vying for this one guy.
Exactly.
So when you're talking about a Kobe Bryant, you need to pay this guy $25 million a year so he doesn't go play for your rival team in the same state. When you're talking about WWE, TNA can't afford to pay John Cena $3 million a year to come over and jump ship. It's not going to be worth the production. When you're talking about New Japan, it's the same scenario where it can't happen. Like these guys can't just throw all this money at these guys to steal them from one promotion, unlike WWE can do for other ones. But that's when you look at the top wages because you look at merchandise and things like that and selling points. It brings you back to the point. Is that the only reason why a guy gets paid more? Is it longevity? What is it? Because it obviously doesn't have to do with competition as far as keeping these guys around unless they're getting paid so little that somebody else could afford them.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that if you almost made the process transparent, right? So it's based on, fan interaction. So, merch is one thing, right? Mm-hmm. But if a guy like John Cena's got 25 pieces of merch, while a guy, let's say Sin Cara's got one, who's going to move more merch in the long run?
Yeah.
Which is a valid point. One of the things they probably could do that actually probably really even it out is just have fans voting. Hey, you went to a show. How was your experience?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So, you can almost do, a Q&A thing via email after a show.
Right.
And then you can basically, give a boost to the guys based on that.
Right. Because, when you talk about just a professional sport or the UFC, that's buy rates, things like that, or production. Because, a guy like Brock Lesnar coming in, he's going to have, CM Punk, they're going to have buy rates out the ass. So that's how they're going to make all that money. They're making money from those pay-per-views.
But nowhere near as much as Conor McGregor.
Nowhere near as much as Conor McGregor is making if he's still fighting. The thing about WWE that's interesting that Ryback brought up is, how can you have a guy like Cena, for example. We can obviously talk about his merchandise, but if you just look at the mm-hmm. professional sport aspect of it, mm-hmm. a guy like him, he wins all the time, but it's predetermined. So yeah. how can you use that as leverage as far as money thing? That's not exactly what he was saying. He's saying more or less that puts them in the spot to be more spotlighted and get that money. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, do you – I feel like the base salary thing isn't just a realistic possibility because when you have guys like Cena
– I think there is a base salary, but it's very low. So, like, if you're bottom of the mid – like, lower tier card, that's the base salary. And, like, as you work up, you get the incentives and stuff like that.
Yep.
I think he almost wants the base salary to go up. Ah. So it – But at the same time, doing that, it's not going to give guys incentive to get better and fucking play politics backstage and get right. yourself up. Because if you're just like, oh, hey, cool, man, I'm on first, cool, I'm making the same as the guy in the main event.
Yep.
Cool, awesome.
Yep.
No, that's not going to work either.
Because when you look at it that way, it's like you want to agree with Ryback. He's sticking up for the little guys. He's sticking up for himself. He's making a point that not a lot of other people make. And, I mean, if I'm reading his statement wrong, correct me, but... It seems like the structure that they have now, where you have guys that have been around for 20 years making more money, you know, I mean, you look at those aspects. I know contract negotiations are probably tough, but when yeah. you look at stuff like that, and you look at a guy like Cena, like you just said, coming out there in his first year, you know, busting his ass, cutting those ridiculously awesome promos, working the best programs with other guys that maybe he wasn't expected to work, getting over with the fans, selling a ton of merch. How can you argue not to pay this guy way more than somebody else,
yeah.
regardless if he's being pushed? Because normally, I know that he's talking about these wins and losses and affecting overall, you know, perception of these athletes later on, but there's a reason why these guys are put in their programs that they're put in, you know, because they get that reaction. They put that time, they put that hard work and that time in. You know, it just seems like to me, guys might be paid a lot and guys might be paid a little. But it's not necessarily just because, you know, it's the business side of things. The company's making that way. I mean, these guys are fighting for that position.
Yeah, definitely. It would almost be like the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Quarterback signs a big contract, right? That's the bench point. So the next quarterback, even though he's not as good, wants just a little bit more than that guy.
Yeah.
It's like Sam Bradford has done fucking shit.
Right.
And he's getting paid more than half the quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things. Yeah. You got to prove to your bosses and stuff like that you can definitely do it. I think one of the things that WWE wrestlers and I think like even the indie guys are realizing now is that you can make money outside yes. the machine.
Yes.
So it's almost going to have to be one of those things where sooner or later the WWE's got to allow these guys to make money outside the machine.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think that's what's really going to kind of break the mold is allow these guys to make money outside the machine.
See, the thing with WWE that's tough, though, is like, then that goes back down to their tour dates. I mean, at some point, you feel like when you look at everything that happened this past year, you have to realize maybe working these guys 300 days a year, 315 days a year, isn't the smartest thing, especially if we want these guys to be on television. We want these guys to be on our network specials. We're trying to sell the network. You know, maybe you want to sell your house shows. That's big. They make a lot of money off house shows. Mm-hmm. But maybe necessarily not running that many a year is totally worth it because then you're going to see things like that. And that would also open up the opportunity for guys to do things outside of WWE. I mean, obviously we've noticed that, you know, they've dabbled in things like television, game shows, things like that.
But at the same time, though, that's sometimes leveraged by the office. Be like, you know, someone comes to WWE, he's like, hey, is there a certain guy we can use or something like that?
Yeah.
That type of thing. I think it would be one of those things where if the guys have agents outside, they can work outside contracts too.
Yeah.
So you could see, let's say, like Kofi Kingston, you know, repping Reebok, even though they got to wear a tap out stuff, you know, like that type of thing where you can actually work out a contract with someone else to make some extra money on the side.
That's a really interesting, idea,
yeah.
I guess. Yeah. Trying to, you know, more or less, yeah, trying to make that money on the outside.
Because if money is the reason morale is low, let these guys have an opportunity to make money outside.
Yeah, I agree.
Nope. You guys kind of covered all the bases.
Sorry.
We kind of get on that tangent. You know?
Yeah, that was a lengthy discussion.
Yeah.
Really quick, so we talked about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't want to dwell on it too much because we have a pretty lengthy interview with Vic Ross, but let's just really quick, why not? Payback. Impressions?
I loved it. I loved Payback. I thought it was a really good show from start to finish. Even though it started a little rough, but yeah. It's Man, that was a scary, scary situation with Enzo.
I actually, your tweet was the one that I saw because Game of Thrones was on that same night. So yeah. My plan was, and that's the terrible stigma with it too, is that when you hear Payback, you see the card, and the card looks good, but you don't necessarily see it as a can't-miss pay-per-view because it's Payback. So I see Game of Thrones, and I'm like, I'll watch Game of Thrones. And then I wanted to tune in for the AJ Styles match because the Bullet Club thing has me intrigued. But then I see your tweet, I go back and watch Payback, and then I end up watching the whole show, and it was fantastic. Yeah. But, yeah, man, just very scary moment, and, you know, kind of almost made me cringe a little bit when Gotch went on the outside of the ring and started grabbing him.
Yeah, there's two different trains of thought of what actually happened there. My personal opinion was he does this one spot where he gets Irish whipped into the ropes, but he slides and gets caught. Now, I'm not too sure if they were too far, you know, too close to the ropes, and he didn't get enough time to go down. The other train of thought was he was already concussed before that happened.
Ah.
So when he got whipped into the corner, and I believe it was Andy English brought up the boots, you can kind of see the lights are off in his head at that point in time because he kind of rolls towards hard cam sign. You can kind of like he's dazed, but it's not like an oversell like you usually see. This was like he hit and he went flat right away. So if it was one of those things where he got whipped and his legs just gave way, it's too close to the ropes, smack, smack, smack. Bleh. Because he went out.
Yep.
Like, that was a legit boxing knockout. That's what that was.
Yeah, that's what it looked like, too. And it had you, I mean, just like I said, it had me a little worried when I saw Gotch go out there and start grabbing a little bit. Because you never know. I mean, especially if the guy had something happen to his neck, which it, at first appearance, it kind of seemed like it. Because it looked like he caught his head on the bottom rope, which wasn't the case. It looked like his
head. It ended up being the middle rope.
Yep, middle rope, and he kind of slapped back on the mat. But, yeah, just glad that he's all right. Hopefully he makes a quick return, because we know concussions can sometimes be a week or they can literally be months. So,
they could be a career ending.
Yeah. So hopefully they figure that out, because there might have not been, other than the New Day, a hotter act. And maybe even you could argue that Enzo and Cass were more hot than the New Day in the past couple of weeks, because just the reaction they've been getting and everything they've been doing as far as program-wise.
And then you're also looking at some of the fresh matchups that we got to see. We finally got to see Owens and Zayn one-on-one on a big-time pay-per-view. It was so good.
Oh.
Cesaro and Miz, that was amazing.
Yeah, just unbelievable. Yeah. You know, you want to say what you want about Miz, but that guy played the perfect villain and sold the shit out of everything Cesaro did.
That might have been one of the best 1-2 combinations of, like, match segments that WWE's put on in probably at least a year and a half.
See, because I sat there, I watched, it's like one of the first times that you watch a match, the quality of Zayn and Owens, and you're like, nothing can follow that. And then you see this next match, and you're almost pumped, like you're hyped, because you see these two matches. It wasn't a come-down match. You see these two awesome matches back-to-back, and it almost pumps you up for the rest of the show. You're like, man, you know, it's like, I wish I was there in person to see this crap, because this is awesome. Like, I can't wait for the rest of the card.
Yeah, and you got to go like right to the main event, too, with AJ Styles and Roman Reigns. I don't know if you guys actually listened to Austin's podcast.
I did.
Yeah, he said it was probably the best match you've seen in WWE in a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, years. That's what he said was years. And that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
Because that match was hard. It was physical. It was violent. It was perfect.
Yeah, I really like what Roman Reigns is doing. I like his composure in the ring. AJ Styles, I mean, some of the spots in that match looked great. AJ Styles... They made AJ Styles look like, for being a quote-unquote new guy to WWE, and maybe some of the newer fans not knowing him, they made him look like a legitimate threat for the WWE title, which I think was kind of worried some people coming into the show, I guess, maybe a little bit, just because he was still pretty new. But Roman Reigns, just the viciousness that he continues to show, even though he's kind of that tweener role right now, having the Bullet Club come out, and we're just seeing this whole thing going on, and it's...
There's so many layers to that feud because you're looking at where AJ, he's friends with, Gallows and Anderson. He might not agree with what they're doing, but he's not turning his back on them.
Right.
Which is so, that's such a great layer of humanity right there. So you got that, you got the thing with the Usos, and everything just kind of bleeds together. And that's why Raw, especially that end segment, was so well put together that you're like, okay, I'm really hooked to see this match coming up at Extreme Rules, even if you didn't see the Payback match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you watch Payback?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
What did you think?
I liked it. I guess the only thing that threw me for a loop was the whole thing with Steph and Shane, because I think everybody figured it was either going to be one of them was going to run Raw, they were going to do the whole brand split and everything, but I don't think anybody was expecting that they would have to share Raw.
you know, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, even though, yeah, we're getting stuff.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Yeah. I'm just saying that nobody – I don't think anybody was expecting that outcome. So I think that's why – that personally, that's what surprised me. Was just because
it should be a pretty fresh outcome, too, because now you can actually play off a sibling civil war, if you will, between these two, and it'd be good.
Yeah, I like the outcome. I thought that segment part maybe ran a little long. I mean, I was
all
so,
those talking segments with McMahon's always run too long.
I was sort of like, you know, with the matches, I was ready to see more wrestling, so I think that's why I was kind of like, I just want to see more wrestling. Let's get this going.
I think Payback overall is kind of proving now that there's not such thing as a throwaway pay-per-view, because I think that was always the stigma a lot of times, is that you think like, oh, it's Payback, whatever. I got other things to do. Maybe I'll watch it later on the network. I'm not sure. But now it's kind of being like, okay, maybe I should start watching these as a live thing now.
See, maybe that's part of the reason why this new talent, this new era that they're doing is so good, because guys like Kevin Owens, guys like Sami Zayn, guys like AJ Styles, Roman Reigns, you know, Enzo and Cass, the Vaudevillains, even the New Day, like Dean Ambrose is still doing it. Like a lot of these new, you know, guys are still trying to prove themselves. So when they go out there, they're working their asses off 150%, trying to make sure that they, even being the second match on the card, prove that they should be in a main event. And I think that's why, you know, you're seeing such quality matchups and storytelling in each matchup. Because, I mean, honestly, coming into the show, I didn't think Cesaro and Miz was a huge story. But, man, they told a phenomenal story in that matchup.
Yeah.
That is definitely true. Well, guys, we need to get to that interview with Vic Ross, because we could sit here all night and just preach about WWE and Payback, but we got to sit down with Vic Ross. I mean, we were there live for his last go around there with River City Championship Wrestling. It was one of those genuine pops. Yeah, you got to see when Maru finally got his comeuppance against the Ross family. We're going to hear from the man himself about what that meant to him to go out on such a high note.
This is Stacey Shadows.
We've said it numerous times that Stacey Shadows is one bad bitch.
And you're listening to Grapple Talk, the best indie wrestling podcast right now known to man.
I'm not afraid to
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Keeping you up.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Keeping you up.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern Independent Wrestling.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net. Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex and... Uh-oh, looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS. Instagram at Indie Power Rankings. On Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, indiepowerrankingsipr.wordpress.com.
WWE is coming back to the La Crosse Center on Sunday, May 29th, and we are giving away tickets.
Yeah, that's right. Still kind of mulling over exactly what we're going to do. All we know is that we're kind of just announcing this right now so that people are aware of it. So if you live in the La Crosse area, if you don't, but you want to come see WWE because you have some free tickets, how many are we giving away by chance?
Two.
We're giving away a pair of tickets. And I think it'll have something to do with our Facebook, and it'll have something to do with our next episode. So make sure that you are obviously tuning into that next episode and keep up to date on our Facebook for more info on those tickets. Because you know what, man? Two free tickets to see WWE. I mean, right now the card is obviously subject to change. It's already
and it's
changed
actually
quite a few times.
Yeah, a few times.
But I mean this is a pretty good card.
Keep listening. Grapple Talk would definitely have that giveaway starting next week.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
The hottest property in this industry today.
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
It's Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
This week in the Spotlight Squared Circle, we are sitting down with Vic Ross once again. Vic, thank you for being on again. I know it's been a while, but hey, better late than never.
Well, you know, you guys are real busy and you know a lot of guys and... I'm not anybody important, you know, it's fine.
Oh, come on, man. Quit the bull crap, Vic the Stick Ross, man. We love you. We go way back.
No, and the feeling's mutual. I just like, twisting your marbles, so to speak.
You like to twist those marbles, that's for sure.
I don't like my marbles getting twisted.
Marbles are kind of hard.
You'll take it and you'll like it.
So, Vic, we're talking with you right now. Obviously, this past weekend was... Pretty big weekend for you, I guess. Your last hurrah. Yeah, your last show. We're coming off, obviously, kind of, I guess, I don't want to say emotional. I don't want to get weird or anything, but I guess it's been a couple of days since then. How are things going for you? I mean, are you still kind of thinking about it? Are you ready to move forward? Or how are things, I guess, just after the show was over?
You know what? I didn't feel sad. I felt happy because of the way things went down closing out that program with Maru. Here I am a couple days later. I'm still happy with my decision.
Would you say you're still alive?
Vic Ross is dead, but the man who portrays Vic Ross is very much alive.
So that's one thing that we see a lot of with wrestling too, is just the idea of that, somebody is gone, they hang it up, and then a few months down the road, they get that itch to come back. Is do you think that you're going to have that itch at all, or are you planning to just quit wrestling cold turkey where this was literally the last show you'll ever be at, or do you plan to go to more shows?
I'll definitely be in attendance as a fan. There's no doubt about that. As far as the itch goes, I know there's going to be an itch, but it's going to be up to me to have to fight that off, you know? I mean, something I did for 17 years, guys. And I'm not getting any younger, and I just felt like, you know, I mean, between the struggles of getting off work, it was just time to walk away. Am I saying that won't change 2 years from now? No, but right now I'm happy with the decision I made.
When you look back at everything, I guess, too, when you just take it all together, 17 years, and you look back at it, as of right now, you're not coming back. So what's that kind of like? Because, I mean, it's been such a big part of your life for so long. I mean, what's that kind of like, just knowing that over the next month, you know, a couple months, next couple of years, I mean, for the end of time, at least for now, you're not going to be doing this anymore. You're not going to be walking out with Jiggy Jack Spade or Hot Shot Scott Williams or, you know, Jason Masters. You're not going to be doing that, the mouthpiece for the Ross family. You're not doing that anymore. I mean, what's that? What's going through your head about that?
Honestly, I haven't had the time to process that yet because the show just was Friday and it's Wednesday now. But it's definitely going to be weird. You know, I mean, I'm still going to see my guys. We're still going to hang out and do crazy, ridiculous things, as you're all privy to. But it just won't be in front of a couple of hundred people. It'll be in Stately Spade Manor or in some crap hole bar on the east side of Milwaukee. You know, so, I mean.
So to establish it, Because that's something that I remember overhearing a lot of conversations with people on Friday, knowing that it was your last show, is everybody's like, man, I'm going to miss you so much, Vic. It's like, it's not like you're dying. It's not like you're going to be dead on Saturday. It's like, you're still going to be around. It's just that you're not going to necessarily going to be at every show where people can guarantee to you. So, I mean, to clarify, you're not going anywhere. It's just, you know, they have to reach out to you more than they might have to normally.
Correct. And, like, for example, I've already got plans to come up to take in a River City show. I had plans this weekend. I was going to go back and check out the MIAW show because Bobby Heenan was going to come, and now, unfortunately, he had his health mishap, and that's not going to happen. So I'm going to choose sleep, you know, and go to work that night. But I've definitely got plans to come and visit and ruin people's lives, but just on a limited engagement as opposed to every month or every other month.
So 17 years in the biz, did you actually think you're going to make it to 17?
Oh, no. I actually had no choice but to step away once before, and I was out for about 15, 16 months. Mm-hmm. So while my first date was 17 years ago, there was like a year and a half where I almost 2 years where I didn't do something, you know. It is what it is. I don't really know what to say to that.
So speaking of that,
I'm speechless, Jesse. Come on, man. You're asking the tough question.
I didn't mean
Vic Ross is speechless. What?
Yeah, I know, right? I don't think I've ever been speechless before, but there you go. Good job, Jesse Von Rudin.
There you go, Jesse, wow, with that gotcha journalism, and then he's just speechless. So Vic, you're planning to come to shows as a fan, but I know that there's some guys that hang up the wrestling boots, they hang up the managing role, you know, all that stuff, but they still want to take that role of, you know, being in backstage, helping out the guys, how to improve, maybe being a road agent, as it were, or even involved in the booking some way, basically behind the scenes, not on camera, whatever. Is that something that you ever considered, you know, now that you're not managing now? Is that something you consider maybe for like MIAW or something to just help out with the behind the scenes role? Or are you just, you know, wiping your hands clean of any backstage role whatsoever?
Well, so MIAW, Armani runs a pretty solid show there. He handles all his own agenting. So basically, if I go and I hang out there, that's just what I'll be doing. I'll be hanging out. As far as Legacy goes, I have been offered a position as, and Jesse, stop me if you've heard this one before, a color commentator.
Oh, wow.
And I have kicked that around. Mm-hmm. And then that brings us to River City, where I was actually offered the option to be an agent up there. As I've done some of that over the last, 6-8 months up there. And I'm not going to, because I don't feel like it's fair to the guys, because I'm not going to be there all the time and see exactly what's going on in their programs. So I'm just going to step away. But by all means, I feel like there should probably be an agent helping guys through things. It's just not going to be me.
Really quick, I want to get your opinion, I guess. More or less, we see you all the time at River City here in La Crosse, but you've been coming up here. I mean, you obviously have legacy MIAW, and I kind of want to just know, leaving the scene, I mean, what are your thoughts, I guess, on just how the independent scene is right now, I guess, with some of the guys that you've been working with over the past couple of years?
I'm actually happy with where the scene is right now. I think it's stronger than it's been in a long time. Some of the newer, younger guys coming up seem to have a better head on their shoulder than, for example, I did when I started out. So I don't foresee there being any trouble in the future with cultivating talent, good matches, great storylines. I see a bright future.
So speaking of the new guys, what would be your, you know, if they retain anything from you, what would be the best piece of advice that you can give to the new guys, you know, going up? You know, you said they got a good head on their shoulders, but what would be a good tip for them moving on in their wrestling career?
Well, I guess my biggest thing that I would say is make sure that you engage the fans. You can put on a 5-star classic and people are going to sit on their hands if they don't feel like it's drawing them in. Like if you just go from A to B to C to D to E and then you get your finish, you're not going to get a lot of reaction. You got to work those people, get them involved emotionally, and it'll be nice and easy from there.
That's something that you've been really notorious doing as a manager, is getting the emotional reaction of some of the fans. One of them, of course, is Kyle Roberts' grandmother, who seems to give you the one bird salute every time she sees you.
I love that old broad. She hates my guts. She hates my guts, and I love her to death.
So is that what you're going to miss the most, is just the fan interaction?
Yeah, and the notorious Ross family road trips. This last one was particularly ridiculous, adding the pirate and referee Eddie Watson to the mix. Just a nonstop laugh-filled trip. And then, you know, this time with these guys, we did something a little different. I'll give you a little insight into a Ross family road trip.
All right.
We took the aux cord and plugged it into my phone, and we went through probably 2 hours of just playing 1970s and 80s sitcom themes. I want you to know that while we never took an official vote, when you got six dudes driving down the road singing the theme to Love Boat, mm-hmm, I'm pretty sure that one came in at the top of the favorites list.
That was my next question. What was the top five? I just have to know. If you're listening to 2 hours of theme songs,
well, you know, Welcome Back Cotter's got to be on the list, right?
Welcome Back Cotter definitely did make an appearance. WKRP in Cincinnati, both the intro and the outro.
Good stuff.
If you don't know, there's two songs. You need to look it up, because the closing song is better than the opener, in my opinion.
Hey, it's an A side and a B side, right?
Oh, absolutely. And we had a little growing pains, little facts of life, you know, things like that. Scotty, he skewers a little more serious music, so he wanted to hear the Ole Anderson of the group, wanted to hear the opening to the Streets of San Francisco and the Hill Street Blues.
It's just like, I'm feeling serious. I want to play that serious sitcom music. None of that BS.
Well, those are dramas,
man.
Right. Those weren't actually sitcoms. They were dramas. So he wanted to I don't know, maybe class up the group as opposed to happy, upbeat music. He wanted, more of a smorgasbord of television themes.
Gotcha. Was there any Murder, She Wrote?
Murder, She Wrote was brought up but never played.
Oh, did it get kind of awkward? Was there any, like, news? Like, I want CBS opening news theme from 1958. We're getting real serious in this car.
No, we didn't get anything quite like that, you know. But it was a good time had by all.
Vic, 17 years, a lot of that as a manager. We kind of talked about this the first time we had you on, but We just don't see that nowadays. I mean, going up and down Wisconsin, I mean, yeah, there's a couple managers here and there, and there's one really good one by the name of Nicky Duché, I think, that he works
wow.
in various places.
No, shameless
I'm,
plug.
I'm just kidding. But, you know.
Who is he? What's his name?
I think it's like Nicky Duchesne's. I don't know. It's just...
Never heard of him. Go ahead.
Hey, that's all right. No one else has actually heard of him either, so it's
oh,
good.
It's great. Oh, now I'm getting the AC Rally ribs. Fantastic. But you've been I mean, you worked so long as a manager. I had the chance to talk to you a little bit about it, too, when we were down at the Eagle's Nest. But I just want to ask you again, I guess, after, you know, doing it for so long, I mean, the element of the manager and maybe people that are trying to break into the biz as a manager, what's a couple of tips that you can really give somebody? Because, I mean, obviously, been doing it for so long, you get heat. I mean, you get middle fingers from old women. It works.
Yep. I'm only going to give you one tip. You want any more tips, then send me $5 per question. But the biggest one... I see. Okay, I'll actually give you two tips.
Okay.
My biggest pet peeve is guys that are from the time the bell rings to start the match to the time the bell rings to finish the match are on the outside of the ring jumping up and down, waving their arms, yelling. That's not how you do it because you're taking the attention off of the match. The second tip I'm going to give you is the polar opposite. From the time the bell rings to start the match to the time the bell rings to end the match, they stand in a single corner. They don't make a peep until their spot comes up. There's a time and a place to make noise, to interact with the crowd. You don't just jump on the first thing you hear and run it into the ground until the match is over, until your spot comes up. You don't want to take away from the match, but at the same time, you don't want to be a fifth ring post either.
Really good tip, actually, yeah.
It's a really couple of good pair of tips there. You got that bonus one for free.
Hey, douche, that'll be $750.
Oh, wow.
I can't afford $750. You know that.
Oh, you totally can.
No.
Depends on where you're getting paid at.
Yeah. Oh, that was a shot.
That was a shot. So, Vic, let me ask you this. So, on the timeout, you managed to do a couple programs here, work with a couple guys. Legacy Pro, you got to do some stuff with Scott. At River City, you got to do some stuff with Maru. A couple other places, you got to do some other things. What was your favorite, essentially, farewell program that you got to do before you were done?
It was the year-long feud with Maru. Absolutely. I don't know if you guys know this. This will be a nice insider for the people listening, both of you. I actually booked that entire angle from once Derek put us together as the tag champs with Maru. He would put the people he wanted in the match with us, but we set the matches up. We booked the angle there on out, including the hair versus retirement, the belt lashes on Maru's back, which originally, by the way, was going to be an homage to Terry Funk, where I was going to suffocate him with a plastic bag.
Oh.
That got vetoed because apparently that was too graphic for the VFW in lacrosse.
I thought it was just too graphic because there was too much hair on Maru's head. And you wouldn't be able to find a big plastic bag.
Man,
you could find.
I would have found
big
a bag
plastic
big enough.
Yeah, like a.
Yeah, I would have found. If I had to go to a dry cleaners, we could have choked him out. It was going to happen.
All right.
But unfortunately, the VFW wasn't happening.
Yeah, they've had a similar instance, you know, earlier in the RCCW where a guy got choked out and no one
got hung.
That. Yeah, he got hung.
Don't beat around the bush, Jesse. Aaron Sacrifice got hung.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happened. That was
what
a
happened
thing.
To the guy who actually hung him. He's probably not even working anymore, right?
No idea.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Well,
hang on a second. How do you throw a fit about hanging a guy whose last name is Sacrifice? I mean, come on.
Apparently, when you are taking your 3-year-old kids to a wrestling show and not telling them either it's, you know, hey, come on, this is dramatized violence or stuff like that, I guess, you know. What you
yeah, Jesse, how was that conversation when that fan came up to
it
you?
It was very awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesse, you got chewed out for that?
I got chewed out. The lady came up to me and she's like,
I never heard this story.
Yeah,
before.
It was like, I take offense to what happened in that ring. I'm like, a wrestling match? And she's like, no, the hanging that happened, you can't do that. He was turning blue. I'm like, I'm sorry.
He wears blue. That's
he was wearing blue.
He was wearing blue Under Armour.
But, so. You know, it's one of those things where it's unfortunate. You know, who knows? Who knows? But I'm glad you guys didn't go with the plastic bag, because you probably would have had to go with a hefty sack.
Come on.
He's got a big head.
Come on.
He's going to get a bigger head after listening to this interview and hearing that.
Whoa.
Yeah, look at those shots fired, AC Riley.
Wow.
Yeah, I stand by it.
Well, who's working blue now?
Huh?
You.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I don't get that.
Anyways.
So you got to book the program, Maru, from start to finish. And the way the fans interacted with that whole thing for the last year, it was really magical.
Yeah.
And I congratulate you for that.
Well, I appreciate it. The tremendous pop at the end of that match when people realized I was gone, it couldn't have worked out any better. I was so happy.
See, now I know
my my face may have conveyed a different emotion, but I was beaming on the inside.
Now I know that you booked Fusion Pro, but then I got to ask you, booking that year long feud and seeing how successful it was, do you have any want to continue booking, whether that's your own show or helping other shows book? Because I know you said RCCW was thinking about you as an agent, but what about just booking in general?
You know, I really feel like that falls in the same umbrella as if you're not there on the day of the show, you really shouldn't be the booker.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I really do, because inevitably, no matter how, you could talk to the same guys that are on the show for the 10 days leading up to the show and tell them the exact same thing, and on the day of the show, they're going to have something they need changed. And if you're not there, you can't change it. And then they're just going to go out and they're going to freestyle on you, and you're going to be mad, and you're not going to want to book them, but the promoter's going to want them booked. It becomes a whole thing. You got to be there.
So, Vic, let me ask you something, too. So now that you're done with wrestling, you're done as far as, you know, managing and wrestling and everything, let me ask you your opinion on this, because there's a bit of a hot topic on, you know, the use of the word retirement with professional wrestling, because, you know, just because of the fact that, you know, when you retire, you don't get a 401k, you don't get a watch, but obviously using the word retiring is, it's easier to say than, oh, I'm giving up wrestling and I'm not going to do this anymore.
That sounded pretty easy.
Well, it's easy to say, but it's longer to say. So in your opinion, do you think it's fair to still say retirement, or do you think there should be a different word as somebody that has just hung up their boots this past Friday?
I absolutely believe there should be a different term. I think over the years I've probably ended up in the hole from wrestling as opposed to made money from wrestling. In fact, I'm certain of that. So if you're not profiting from it, you're not retiring. But I don't really have a better term to use at the moment. If you come up with one, I'll rubber stamp it, man. We'll call it that, but I don't have it.
Getting the fuck out?
Oh, there you go. And Von Rudin is working blue again. First he takes a shot at Riley, and then he comes back with getting the fuck out.
Well, you asked for a better term than retirement, you know. That's a pretty
good one. You know how I know it's been a long time since I've been on this show? Because the last time you told me I couldn't swear. And now Von Rudin's rolling with the big F-bomb.
Yeah, that's...
We're no longer on the college radio thing. We're just on the interwebs.
Yeah.
Everyone swears on
nice.
The interwebs.
We're sponsored by Pornhub. So.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, here's a throwback to my Simpsons fans. Hell damn crap.
Vic, before we go today, one thing I want to ask you, because I bitch and moan about it every single week that
you
we do Grapple Talk. You always wear the Samoa Joe shirts. Why is this guy not on WWE television yet?
Because that's not what he was hired for, buddy.
What was he hired
for? He was hired to strengthen up the NXT roster so they could move guys up, and he can work with the younger talent and impart some of that wisdom.
Man, but he's like
that's not the same.
He's like the best worker.
Okay, best worker. Guess what? That's what he was hired for. And I'm not saying he ain't going to make the main roster, but it ain't going to be probably for another year.
Oh, you're killing me, Vic.
I mean, what do you want? He's the champ
in their
main developmental territory. They've been pushing him well.
Yeah.
What do you want, to parade down Main Street?
I think he does. Do you want
the main event on Raw every week?
I'm just excited for him to work some of the guys that are on Raw. That's all.
Okay.
He worked all those guys in NXT.
Exactly. Who are you pining to see him wrestle?
Fandango.
Stop it. Give it 6 weeks and Fandango will be back down in NXT.
Oh, come on. Fandango's tag team with Goldust is definitely going to take off.
Well, I hope they do take off. Take it off the television.
Awesome. Well, Vic, for all of us, thank you for being on again. It was a lot of fun to chat with you, and hopefully we'll see you at a wrestling show sooner than later.
Absolutely we will, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
That's Vic Ross. Sorry.
Will you grant me one final wish?
Sure. Grant you one final wish.
I just want you to continue your streak of never having Jason Masters on this program. just keep that streak alive, okay?
All
right. Because his ego already requires its own pair of pants that it also can't jump into. So.
See, what's nice about that is that now we have that cop-out where it's just like if he ever does get mad at us for not being on the show, it's like, hey, we'd love to, but it was Vic's final wish, and you know we gotta honor his wishes and stuff like that. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. Thank you. I'd shake your hand through the phone if I could, and we'd make it a deal. But that's perfect.
Fantastic. Well, we'll be right back with more Grapple Talk right after this.
This is the Monster of the Midwest, Sadist. There's a couple of things I really, really like. I like to hurt people, and I like Grapple Talk. So I'm going to keep listening.
What's up, guys? This is professional wrestler Rennie D.
And this is Travis Dirty Mester.
We're the hosts of The Pencil, the professional wrestling podcast every Tuesday.
On iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, and Stitcher.
We bring you guests from the WWE, TNA, and all the major independent wrestling promotions around the world.
Follow us on Twitter at Pencil Podcast or on the World Wide Web, PencilPodcast.com.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Chris Lockman, host of the Smart Money Wrestling Podcast. Join me and my co-host, AJ Jensen, each week as we discuss all things professional wrestling. WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, New Japan, as well as the local indie scene here in Wisconsin. We'll also bring you interviews with some of the Midwest up-and-coming independent stars and where you can see them in your area. You can find us on SoundCloud and iTunes, as well as on Twitter, at Smart Money. Check us out.
Hi, this is the Minnesota Madman, Doug Meyer, host of the wrestling podcast on the DVM Podcast Empire.
One Ball Radio.
We recap Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, and other shows of the week. We interview wrestlers, go back in time with This Week in Wrestling History, and we go, hey, whatever happened to you? Check us out on iTunes or DVMPE.com.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media. Create your legacy.
Hi, this is Corey from Independent Wrestling Apparel. Are you an independent wrestler trying to get t-shirts made or hosted online for sales? Visit us at independentwrestlingapparel.com or email us at indiewrestlingapparel@gmail.com and find out how you can get sponsored today. Are you a fan looking to get a shirt from your favorite independent wrestler? Visit our website at www.independentwrestlingapparel.com today and purchase your shirt of your favorite independent wrestler.
WWE is coming back to the La Crosse Center on Sunday, May 29th, and we are giving away tickets.
Yeah, that's right. Still kind of mulling over exactly what we're going to do. All we know is that we're kind of just announcing this right now so that people are aware of it. So if you live in the La Crosse area, if you don't, but you want to come see WWE because you have some free tickets, how many are we giving away by chance?
Two.
We're giving away a pair of tickets. And I think it'll have something to do with our Facebook, and it'll have something to do with our next episode. So make sure that you are obviously tuning into that next episode and keep up to date on our Facebook for more info on those tickets. Because you know what, man? Two free tickets to see WWE. I mean, right now the card is obviously subject to change. It's already
changed
a few times. But
this is
a pretty good card.
Keep listening. Grapple Talk would definitely have that giveaway starting next week.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Darren Corbin.
I've always gotten the question, why do I not do my own podcast? Well, I've branched out and I've tried to do Wrestling Reflections and the Wrestlers Reviewing Movie Letter, plus my promos that I flood your feed with all the time. And the number one reason is, when it comes to podcasts, everyone can always find a way to hear myself talk, and there's numerous podcasts out there, but I want to give my endorsement to one very special one. and that'd be Grapple Talk, that covers a lot of the Midwest independent wrestling highlights. See, a lot of the local Midwest wrestlers are the spotlight of the Squared Circle hosts, and that would be Nick Ragnar, Jesse Von Ruden, and AC Riley. And every week on iTunes or Podbean, you can catch their podcast. So I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're asking me why I don't do podcasts and you're maybe looking for my opinion, check them out for all your podcast needs and take a look and keep supporting independent wrestling in the Midwest.
That was a great interview there with Vic the Stick Ross. You know, it's going to be different not having him at every show, but he went out the way he wanted to go out.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've known Vic Ross. We've known Vic Ross for obviously quite some time.
Yeah.
In SWE, you know, I was there, quote unquote. I was there.
You were their personal backstage correspondent.
Correspondent. Yep. So I've had quite a few.
You got to do ridiculous videos on looking for the Ross family.
That's right. Yeah, I did a series of videos where I went in search of the Ross family when they went missing in SWE. I still go back to this day and watch them sometimes because they're pretty.
See, that segment was so great because that was in the time that you weren't able to come to shows because of your. That's when you started working the Rock, right?
Yep.
So it was just perfect because they were gone. You could do these here in La Crosse that you were looking for the Ross family and still be part of the shows even though you technically were at the show. So it honestly worked, you know, like it fit perfectly.
I'm literally going to plug that right now. If you go to YouTube, just search.
Of the Ross family.
In search of the Ross family. I think there's like six parts.
I think there's three.
Three.
Yeah. Oh, is there three?
There's only three.
There's three parts, but aren't they broken up into two segments each?
That's a good question. Yes,
When I went abroad, there was two separate videos. they're pretty ridiculous, but yeah, that's when I
fought Jackie Chan on the roof of the building.
I still wanted to do more of those videos because they were just hilarious. I wanted to search for the Ross family.
You know, that's one of the things that, you know, we need to probably do more is just be creative outside of wrestling, and that's what exactly it got us to do. So.
Yeah, it was pretty hilarious, but. You know, going back and just looking at stuff like that and then being at all the shows, offering his wisdom and just, you know, I hate to be that guy. I really do. But, I mean, honestly, just from a I don't want to say a worker standpoint, but just from a standpoint of being involved in independent wrestling, just one of the nicest guys in the back offering his wisdom to everybody. But then when he goes out, you know, to do his thing as Vic the Stick Ross,
He's a prick.
He's one of the best. He's honestly one of the best that I've ever seen as far as managing. I mean, getting heat. And doing his thing on the mic, there's a reason why he's called Vic the Stick. And, you know, I think the business, as far as the companies that he works for, is definitely going to miss him a lot.
He's got a lot of wit, and that's for sure, because it would be one of those situations that he'd go out there and he'd have a promo in mind, but then somebody would say something, and just like that, he could just flip the switch and just go right on the attack of that person. Just like, you know what? I wasn't paying attention to you, but guess what? All eyes on you right now, and I got a bunch of stuff I can say about you. Full circle back to what I was originally saying.
Yep.
And so many people just don't know how to do that, so it's just kind of like, oh, I'm just going to wait for him to kind of be quiet.
Yep.
All right, what was I saying? So that's something that will definitely be missed is just, you know, that wit that he had. But, you know, Vic, as you said, you know, he's a great guy to be around. It was always nice to be in the locker room with him and, you know, shoot the shit with him. And even, you know, at the after parties and stuff like that and just – you know, go down.
That'll
and,
be weird.
Yeah, that'd be weird not to see him at the shows all the time. And just because it's not like he was doing wild stuff.
No.
But it would just be nice to just go down, you know, just hang out at the bar, you know, grab a drink and just, you know, shoot the shit a little bit. And then something weird would be happening with Masters. And he would just kind of antagonize it. And then you'd see a show. That's what it would be a show.
Yeah.
Dinner and a show. There you go.
So, Vic Ross, thank you so much for joining us here on our Spotlight Squared Circle segment. Obviously, we'll see you down the road, and, look forward to those times. Again, just want to plug this one more time just because, you know, it's something we're doing here at Grapple Talk for the first time ever. We're doing a giveaway Sunday, May the 29th, WWE coming to La Crosse, the La Crosse Center, the first time that they're coming there in 3 years. And, guys, we're giving away a couple tickets.
Yeah, a pair of tickets. Hopefully they're next to us so we actually know who wins. That'd be actually interesting to be like, oh, you guys are from Grapple Talk.
As long
like,
as it's
oh,
not
you
the
guys are the one.
As long as it's not the Dojo Boys.
Oh, you just gave me
wow.
That's a joke.
That's kind of a mean joke.
Oh, really? That was a mean joke?
No, it wasn't.
Have you ever hung out with the Dojo Boys before?
They're hung out with
they'd
you.
They'd probably be like, oh, screw Nick Ragnar. He's a douche.
They'd be like, suck it, motherfucker.
Wow.
That's what they would do.
Yeah, they probably would.
Well, of course, one of the things we didn't actually get to do for this week, though, was upcoming shows, so make sure you check out the Facebook. There's a ton of wrestling going on this weekend, including Heavy On Wrestling, BCW, Powerhouse Pro Wrestling.
Freelance has got a show.
Freelance has got a show. Everyone's booking this weekend. It's going to be a great weekend for pro wrestling action. Plus, Ring of Honor has got a big pay-per-view down in Chicago.
Yeah.
You can see some of the stars of New Japan there. That's going to be good.
I did. Yeah. Did you look at that card, by the way?
I did.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's a good card, yeah.
You guys want to get Ring of Honor pay-per-view?
What are you doing?
All right, that's enough.
How much is a Ring of Honor pay-per-view?
You know, I bet it's like $20.
That's it?
Yeah, why not?
Doesn't Ring of Honor like have a network now?
They're on the Fight Sports app as well.
What was Matt telling us about, though? There was like some network that you can go to the website.
There's a Ring of Honor subscription on the website.
That's what he's talking about.
Yeah, it's like a VIP pass thing that you get to see the shows and stuff like that. But it'd be something we might want to check out. You know,
yeah,
if you guys want to hang out on Mother's Day.
That's Sunday?
Yeah.
Sunday.
Maybe. Sunday.
Maybe.
Get done hanging out with your mother and see pro wrestling action with Ring of Honor.
Thanks for joining Grapple Talk.
That's the bottom line.
Because right. Jesse Von Rudin said so.
No, not at all.
Nice. Oh.
Yep. Gimmick steal.
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
Look at us.
Stop doing that Emma thing, dude. I hate that.
Hey, come on. I'm not stealing your pen.
That's so dumb.
Nice. I see what he did there.
What happened?
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.